listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow, live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, glad to be back.
And Michael Kelly as well.
Good evening, everyone, glad to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And we have several different educational programs as a part of ICMH Church. EmpoweredRecovery.com is one which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. Paranexus.org is an association of anomalous researchers. MetaphysicsInstitute.org is our flagship school, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and many other areas. And we also have a second school, Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our nine principles of belief, the abbreviated version. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, did I say four before? Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for an expanded discussion of these principles, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, I'd like to start the discussion off with a little bit on sacred obligations. We've talked about this in times past, but it's always good to have reminders on this particular thing. And at ICMH Church, we have five sacred obligations. There's a lot of different ones, and there's different types of obligations. But we define the term sacred obligation as a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good for all concerned. So spiritual sacred obligations are behaviors based on high ethics, integrity, and they become self-evident once they are known. And so our five primary sacred obligations are do no harm, do right. Number two, reclaim your power. Take your power back. Number three, attune your life leadership paragon. And four is pay it forward. And five is deliver your greatness. Let me just comment briefly on these. Obviously, do no harm, do right. The first one is pivotal on everything we teach. The second one is reclaim your power. That simply means taking your power back. That means, well, it's really a life changer when we take our power back. We protect our boundaries. We have a better sense of who we are and why we are who we are. And we just stand on our own two feet better when we take our power back. We stop giving it away to other people. We maintain our own identity rather than adopting somebody else's identity. So that's a little bit on reclaiming your power. The third one is attune your life leadership paragon. That simply means to bring into balance the four traits of the life leadership paragon, which are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. The fourth one is pay it forward. That's the work that we do, that metaphysical humanists do. We pay it forward in any ways that we can. We seek any opportunities. We're open to any opportunities. Whenever we have that opportunity to help somebody, we do so. and that's paying it forward. And then the fifth one is deliver your greatness. And I want to kind of focus on this one a little bit tonight. You know, there are different kinds of obligations. We have perceived obligations that we feel we have to do, mostly because we think we do. You know, obligations that we feel other people expect of us. And those may or may not be valid, by the way. A lot of times we feel obligations in areas that we're not really obligated. I mean, we don't have to be. And it's not fair to us. It's like codependent people. You know, they basically do for other people what those people could and should do for themselves. And so the codependent person feels an obligation to take care of that other person. And obviously we can, if you've listened to this program before, you know what that means. That means that if a codependent person basically assumes responsibility for those other adult people, and that's irresponsible. We can't assume responsibility for another adult. So when we deliver our greatness, that means that we fulfill the obligation to ourselves and thereby deliver that greatness to others. So everybody benefits. And so here's just, I guess, a little bit of a wake up. We get so busy with life and we get distracted with things that sometimes we forget to fulfill our own obligations to us. That means fulfilling our own potential, you know, fulfilling our own purpose and finding that meaning in life. Because life is way too short and life is way too long to not fulfill your potential, to not be who you are, to not deliver your greatness to the world by walking your own path and being yourself and fulfilling that obligation to yourself. A lot of times, as I said, we get so busy helping others or doing things for others or seeing to the needs of others that we forget about us. That is a definition of codependence. So this is just a reminder. Don't forget you. You know, don't forget to fulfill your potential. Walk your path. Make sure you take time out for yourself. Make sure that you do good for yourself. Remember, do no harm, do good, do right. Do right for yourself, too. That means of pursuing what you want to pursue. And if you're a student at IMHS or TFU, that means, you know, getting through your studies and fulfilling that objective that you held out for yourself, that goal, because you can do that. And then life changes because now you're a little bit further along the path and now you're doing what you set out to do. So keep that in mind. Deliver your greatness. Don't forget your obligations to yourself and to fulfilling your own goals and your own objectives, because you'll feel much better about yourself and about life if you do. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
Just reminded me of a Facebook post that's been going around, be yourself because everybody else is taken.
Yeah.
I like that one. It's, you know, people, again, tend to think greatness means being, you know, famous and rich and stuff, but it's what each of us is born to be, what we're designed to be. Just be the best that you're born as. That's just simple. Be you. Be yourself. Michael?
Good. Yeah. Michael, any comments?
Well, I would completely agree with your point, Dr. Hunter, and I would just say something in regards to how easy it can be to fall into codependency, and it's really something we need to watch out for, because it always usually starts in the guise of wanting to help others and do the right thing, but it can easily slide into codependency where you're doing something for another adult that they can do for themselves.
Good. All right, so just a few points, and don't forget you in the whole mix here. Don't get so busy with life and distractions that you forget about you and what you want to attain. Because, you know, when we get to the end here, at least the end of this life, on our deathbed, we don't want to have a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if onlys, and the might have beens. We want to look back and say, yeah, I seized the moment. I did what I set out to do. And that just dovetails right into don't think it's too hard. You know, ask how hard can it be, and we go make it happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to throw in there that it usually takes some big shocking event for people to wake up to themselves, to wake up to their life and the priorities of life, and certainly to do more for themselves and want to do for others, but for more like healthier reasons, I suppose. I have seen this time and again with people where it's a near-death experience or, some kind of another loss or a trauma that has shaken people up out of their, let's say, a boxed reality where we tend to get too comfortable. And, it's like, wow, the life looks different. It new eyes. And you say, well, why am I doing that for those people when they can do it for themselves? Why did I take on these tasks? Why did I do that? And it's, sometimes that's the way it is because we are very busy in our lives. Everybody carries on and it just takes one of those moments. But my point and our point, I think, here is that it doesn't take one of those moments at all. We don't have to get to that shock and trauma or a big event to say, I think maybe today I'd like to just take inventory to ask myself, am I allowing other people their free space like I want my own? Am I giving other people what I would like to have for myself? Because if I have the right to make decisions, then so does someone else. So, all those little questions that we can ask ourselves that, can have us, nudge us in the right direction, or at least a healthier direction, I think. That's just something else that I think about from time to time, that we don't need the big shock and trauma to start getting it right.
Good points. Michael, anything?
Nothing that I would be able to add on top of that. Definitely good points. Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's do a 5-card snapshot, Dr. Hunter.
All right.
See where it takes us.
Let's see where this takes us, shall we? All right. I have the first card, gratitude. I love it. Because it's a big one, to be grateful for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. That's, I think, a really big one, and especially for people who are codependent, they don't necessarily take compliments very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't.
No.
Yeah, I can attest to that. But
so,
one thing I'll also just say about gratitude is that I thought often about how healthy it was for me to express gratitude for the things that I had in my life. When I had a more dogmatic approach to religion and theology. But I realized as I became an adult that you really don't have to pray to feel that kind of gratitude for just it being a beautiful day out or the appreciation of having a home and friends and family and a good life. But I think it's important that we take moments and just feel that gratitude to existence just for the fact that you have it, because it didn't have to be that way. And a lot of times we should appreciate what we have because it can really help us maintain a positive attitude.
Well said, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
And I'll just add a 2 cents worth and you go on to the next card, that we have to take time out each day and just appreciate what we have. We may not have all we want. We rarely do. But we should take a moment out and appreciate what we have. I mean, that's one thing that became very clear when Hurricane Irma came through here and we were without power for a week. I was reminded very, very much how much mm-hmm. I like power and air conditioning and things like that. And so, even those little things that we tend to take for granted in life, we need to just take a moment in the day and just appreciate them.
Absolutely. Actually, on that note, I'd also like to say that it's always a good moment to keep in mind the people in Puerto Rico that are still without power,
yes.
Three quarters of the island. And there are a lot of websites that you can go to donate to relief efforts, and it all does good work, and I'm just trying to keep them in our thoughts too.
Well said.
Well, our next card that I drew is number 32, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there's no reason, no longer a reason to do so. So that it's, again, one of the little lessons that when we do have, especially compassion for others, as you were saying, you know, remember the people in Puerto Rico. If you can give, that's great. Or other causes that you can, you know, check it out. And empathy, you know, we can relate. At right. least if you can't know, I don't know what it's like to be in a hurricane. I don't want to know what it's like to be in a hurricane.
Me either.
But I can certainly appreciate what it's like to be in a bad storm, and I can appreciate what it is to have no power, and I can appreciate what it is to, you know, have your home at risk. And, you know, you compound all those things, and you say, wow, you know, and yet just bottom line is, even if I can't relate to that, people are suffering, people are in need, and that I can relate with.
So, and just to tag on to that, we're talking about sympathy and empathy, and it's good to have that for other people, and it's good to have compassion for other people. But in harmony with the theme sort of tonight, don't forget to have a little sympathy and empathy for yourself and compassion for yourself, because you matter too. We're not talking about narcissism here. We're just talking about having a healthy outlook, a healthy concept. And sometimes we deserve compassion too. And we deserve that compassion from ourselves, not kicking ourselves and having a little sympathy and empathy for, you know, our plight too. All right, next card.
You can't give away what you don't have.
Yep.
So good. In order to have that to give, you have to have it for yourself. Well, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. The next one is belief system and knowledge base, number 15. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Yeah, always a good... those good points there, especially in problem solving.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't very good at that these days. Or certainly, the way they're solving a problem is toward their own agenda without necessarily thinking of what's good for others also. You know, it's more than just, you know, well, do no harm, do right would sum it up. But sometimes we have to check in with... okay, this could be good for myself, but how is this going to affect everybody else? Because we're all mm-hmm. in this together. And so I think that that's an important thing to remember.
And Dr. Hunter, do you feel that we're on the correct arc in terms of the overall human civilization improving?
No. I think we think it is by virtue of flushing toilets, electricity, technology. It appears to be better, but I think there is the equal amount. I think we're more intelligent. I think that we have access to greater intelligence, and in those ways it's better. But I don't necessarily see that we are improving ourselves for the betterment of all. I think that some people improve it for themselves. That's my view. Mm-hmm. But I think in very many ways we have improved some conditions, but we haven't improved our attitude.
As a species.
As an overall species. And that's, you see, this is where I come from in my thinking. If it's good for one, it must be good for all. If it's happening to one, it's happening to all. And we tend to get very selective, privileged thinking. That's my view. And so when I hear things like, you know, if you just wish for it hard enough and the powers of positive thinking, you too can have $1 million home. Well, that's really hard to tell people when they live in East Chicago or Flint, Michigan right now. You know?
And also, should that be the goal? Satisfaction doesn't always come solely from material things, although having access to material things certainly makes this life more bearable. But, you know, that being said, I often wonder if it's just not for the fact that we kind of tend towards the grass is greener on the other side, and we weren't alive a century ago to know, to see the up close and personal, the, you know, level of corruption and bigotry that was more rampant, I think, based on literature and things from the times. And I wonder if we're approaching, I know we talked about this earlier, but a catalyst of sorts. It doesn't always have to be a painful one, but perhaps one of an epiphany on a wide scale.
Well, I wish there'd be a bigger epiphany.
Well, think about exponential growth. It starts slowly, but when it starts to ramp up, it feeds into itself and it goes faster and faster.
Well, I definitely think there is something ramping up. Don't get me wrong. I really do. It's just there's a lot of casualties while it's still trying to ramp up. So, I mean, that's where my thinking goes. So it's, again, you know, I have this different kind of view where a lot of people say we're here to learn, and my view is that we're here to create. And we don't need to get spiritual. We already are. So if we could just sit still for a minute and acknowledge that what we're learning about is the rules of the game. We're learning about what we have. If you're born into this life, you're going to learn about microwave ovens and flushing toilets. And you're going to learn about, you know, where you live, your family, your community. You're going to learn about skills. You're going to learn all that. But what's your creation? So what's your greatness to deliver? What are you going to create? What's your input here? And so I think sometimes, just my view, I think some people are backwards, but I'm dyslexic. So I tend to come from that place of I don't need to get spiritual. I just need to remember it. And if I remember it, then I can be that. I don't have to know love to be love. I just need to know how it's supposed to act. And I decide how it's going to act. And I think that a lot of people compete in who knows the way to get there, you know, because they want to get spiritual. They want, but again, greed is a big part of it. People want to be better, smarter. I think that's a dilemma of the human species. So, you know, I would like to believe, I have kids and grandkids and, you know, they'll have kids and I'm close, some of us here are closer to being more on the way out than on the way in. So it's not so much for us that we do it as we are for for those who come after us. And I think that we need to have greater conscience about that. Instead of being reactive and impulsive, we need to be proactive and responsible. And if we can put that into a perspective, then we would make better decisions, whether we agree or disagree. Because we can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And
I have no problem with that. Just don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
That's all.
Good points. Great points. Excellent. All right. Let's go
move on to the next card here is communication. Yeah, number 41. The most important form of communication is with the higher self. Reflecting on one's spiritual evolution, a good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will certainly kill any relationship. And this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on a win-win. Communication, certainly along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. And I think that I fear that we are living in the land of disconnect, and some of our communication skills. It's one of the most brilliant parts about Dr. Kelly's program is to restore communication skills, whether it's to how you write an email and at least say hello, or you know, write a full sentence instead of an abbreviation. Mind you, I really do like emojis.
Yeah, I really do.
I like them.
I never thought.
but I think that how we communicate with each other and being respectful. You know, boy, we have to learn to be more respectful in our communications.
That's very true.
That's key.
Very true. And kind.
Yep. Oh, but people think kind means you're stupid. That's, boy, this is one of my peeves. If you're kind, people think you're naive, that you don't know better, that you're basically stupid. Because nobody would be that kind and be smart and intelligent, or Tabitha just wrote, or a pushover. That's right.
I think we're moving away from that. And again, I can only base on my own experiences in life, but in my generation and the people that I've been with, the popular clique, if you will, one of the features of said clique was that they were nice, you know, and considerate, well, at least superficially, but nevertheless, it was still a point of consideration, which is something.
Good.
But, yep. Well, the final card in this five-card spread is number 42, trust and integrity. So integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. Trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Boy, isn't that a profound statement. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Yep.
That's pretty important.
And that brings us right back full circle to everything we started with, you know, to be kind to ourselves, to have integrity, and to have compassion for ourselves, to not forget ourselves as we go through life.
You know, Heather just wrote, she's always been too kind, but I'd rather be kind than risk bad karma coming upon me. You know, Heather, it's not about karma. And I'm saying this with kindness. It's really about how you want to live in good conscience. You know, a very wise man many years ago said to me, we're all born loving and trusting. Wisdom is in learning where to place it.
Yep.
And so it is to be who you are, to live in that kindness. But again, all these other wonderful little brushstrokes of lessons about where to place that, how to, your boundaries. You know, you give a few times and somebody doesn't call you back. Well, don't do it anymore, you know, because there's somebody else out there who would just love to have your kindness. You know, so it's where we place that. I think that a big revelation I had in my early days of healing from a lot of things in my life was, you know, when you try to win people over, you want them to like you. I don't even like them. So why do I care about gaining attention from somebody I don't even like? What does that mean? And it was a huge epiphany, you know, at that moment of, I have to put my attention somewhere else, to situations that are more positive and likable, people who are more likable. So I don't need to win over anybody. I just need to live with who I am and try to build on more positive and productive relationships that actually count, and again, they amplify good energy. So I hope that helps. It's just to throw that out there. It's just something that popped in my mind. She said she had a friend betrayer, and she's never forgiven this person, but it's hard to ever trust a person again. It's not about trusting somebody else again. It's about trusting yourself. You know, we're going to be betrayed. We are going, life is going to have its way with you. It really will. Life is going to hit you. There's always going to be somebody who wants through the intersection faster than you do, and even though they have a red light. There's always going to be a betrayal. There's always going to be somebody who is going through their own reasons. I don't know why people do what they do under duress, stress. They've been deceitful to themselves from the beginning. But it's learning to trust yourself in where to place trust again. So don't worry about other people. She said, but this person still treats you like you're the best friend. Of course, you are their friend, but they're not your friend. See, that's the difference. So be their friend, and again, with your boundaries and knowing who they are, and you decide how much you want to invest, how much you want to give, but it's not about them and who you trust. It's about trusting yourself. So,
you know,
that was my little speech, sorry.
That'd be a great epitaph, you know, on a tombstone. Life had its way with me.
But it's true. Life will do that. It doesn't matter. You can do all the right things. And are they the right things? You know, you can be as good and kind and all, but life is still going to meet you. It's, you know, mm-hmm. You never know. It's just going to happen. Life happens.
All right, well, let's pull some cards.
I saw that Heather threw her name out there, so maybe Michael would be so kind as to draw a card for Heather.
Absolutely. And Heather, I've drawn number 2, esteem and validation.
Good one.
Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
That's a good one. I mean, that goes right along with what we were talking about, you know.
Absolutely.
Very closely.
Well, Dr. Tabitha would like a card also, Michael, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. I'm on a roll. And this is one of my favorites. I pulled wild card number 7, hope.
Love it.
Good one. And if anybody else would like a card, just put your name in the chat room and we'll pull that.
Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. When all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
You know, I think hope is spiritually built into us. And I don't think it's mechanically built in. I think it's spiritual. I think
you're right.
I think it is that connection that we have to our soul, our connection that we have to our spirit. When we don't have hope, we're disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somehow life goes flat and no conscience. So I see that as your spiritual groundedness, your spiritual connection. That's all.
That's a great point. Heather wrote, she saw a quote today that said, hope is the only thing stronger than fear. That's very true. You know, we have to have hope. We can't lose hope. We never should lose hope because there's no reason to lose hope. We may feel like there is, but there's never a good reason to lose hope.
And you know, honestly, our society couldn't exist without hope. And it's the thing that gives us, you know, the power to keep going through the next day, especially when times were materially much harsher. It gave people a lot of motivation. And to cut humanity a little slack, I'll also say on that kind of same vein that it's really the fact that we've come this far is kind of testament to the fact that there just statistically have to be more good people than bad. Otherwise, we would have burnt out long ago or never advanced to the degree that we have.
I agree.
In fact, there was a wonderful article that I won't get too deeply into, but it was centered around the, you know, tired cliche that nice guys finish last, and the entire point of the article was that nice guys, not to be gender specific, but hence the phrase, but nice guys are the reason for civilization. That if everybody were to act in the way that, you know, of the renegade, so to speak, then everything would crumble.
Mm-hmm. Good points. All right. Well, you know, there's been a lot of great nuggets in here in this program tonight from Dr. Hunter, from Michael. You know, excellent points that we want to ponder and meditate on and keep in mind. So, you know, take them away with you and listen to the archive again if you want to or need to refresh your memory on it. But don't forget to be kind to yourself. To, you know, help others, but also help yourself. Be compassionate with others. Be compassionate with yourself. Deliver your greatness and walk your path and fulfill your potential. Those are all very important things. Now, before we wrap up our program for tonight, I also just wanted to make an announcement that for students who are listening to this, IMHS students specifically, that our new school portal is now up and running and available. So we'd like to eventually migrate all our students over to the new portal. It's the same thing, only different. It's got some nice new features, and it's a slightly different look, but it basically operates the same way as you're used to. So there's nothing terribly, no real learning curve to speak of, but it's got some great features that will kind of keep you on track and let you know where you're at in the course and different things like that. There's a couple of video tutorials on there too. So the new site is at imhs.university. That's the URL. So if you'd like to switch over there with your next course, you can do that. Just go to that site, imhs.university, and create a student account, and then let us know, and we'll put you over there on your next course. So, and we're going to do a video newsletter update tomorrow, Dr. Hunter and I, and we'll send that out to the student body as well. So, anyway,
I'd like to give a shout out to all the students who join us every week and those who listen in the archives. I do know that Dawn is listening. I had a good session with her today as part of the Tarot Mentoring Program. She's taken the courses, and I know she's listening tonight, so hello, Dawn. It's great to, you know, and this is where we get to know some really incredible people and good people, people who are working really hard at improving their lives and learning and want to make, you know, a positive contribution. So I want to just throw it out there that I feel really privileged to be a part of IMHS and all of you people.
Very good. Yeah, we have a lot of incredible students, and we appreciate them. And so, anyway, we appreciate everybody's kind attention tonight. Thanks for listening, those who are listening live, those who are listening to the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael for his input as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.